I'm hoping you all can see and hear me now. It feels like it takes some faith to preach over Zoom to believe that you guys all the way in Raleigh can hear me sitting here in Charlotte. Thank you so much for inviting me. This is a privilege to share with you guys. And I wanted to open with a kind of confession of sorts, a confession to a character flaw of mine. I have a really hard time making decisions. I'm kind of an indecisive guy. At least this is true where the major life decisions are concerned. Like by now I'm okay at a restaurant, but decisions like that concern love and work and money and home, the big ones, who will I marry, if anyone? What will I do when I grow up? Where will I live? These are the kinds of high stakes decisions that I can really agonize over. And the longer I live, the more I see how our small decisions lead up to the bigger ones and how all of our decisions are so interconnected that I'm starting to wonder whether there are actually no small decisions at all, but only big decisions in disguise. One way I try to make myself feel better about this character flaw, I mean, my indecisiveness, is by telling myself a certain story where this flaw turns out to be the shadow side of some hidden strength. Let me explain what I mean here. So there's one Christian author I really like to read who's this Swiss psychiatrist named Paul Tournier. And Tournier argues that the reason some people, he talks about sensitive people, Tournier says the reason sensitive people have such a hard time making decisions is that they are more acutely aware of the essential riskiness of living or of the supremely high stakes of almost every living moment and choice. I like this idea that the reason I'm so indecisive is actually because I'm more aware of something than other people. Of course, I don't know that this is true. It just makes me feel better. And of course, it would be best to be fully aware and to be able to make decisions with boldness and zest and a sense of adventure. That's the kind of person I want to be, someone who is fully tuned in to the essential riskiness of life, but still able to relish life's risks with a sense of adventure. In order to become that person, though, I think it's going to require more faith than I have now. In several passages in the Gospels, Jesus seems to suggest that faith is a spiritual tool that can be used to ward off some of this fear. In today's Gospel reading, the fear in question is a life-threatening storm. As Mark tells us, there's a great windstorm and waves that were threatening to, this is the phrase he uses, swamp the boat. While this is happening, Jesus is, of course, taking a nap on a cushion in the lower deck. And one of the disciples, we're not told who, nudges Jesus awake and asks a question that anytime I read it, I hear it sarcastically. He says, "Jesus, do you not care that we are perishing?" And then maybe Jesus yawns and stretches for a moment. While the final scene of the Titanic starts to play out on the upper deck, Mark never provides many details, so I sort of have to make up my own. But anyway, Jesus wakes up, and Mark tells us that Jesus addresses the storm directly and speaks directly to it. He says, "Peace be still." And of course, the sea goes immediately calm as the disciples stand back in awe. And I imagine Jesus yawning some more and going back to his cushion. But before he goes back to sleep, he gives his disciples a lesson in faith. "Why are you so afraid?" he says. "Do you still have no faith?" And I can imagine Jesus saying the same thing to me when I'm being blown about by the winds of some big life decision. "Why are you so afraid, Daniel? Do you still have no faith?" I think the question of what it means to bring an attitude of faith to our decision making is an important question to consider, especially if you're a bit of a fearful decision maker like I am. But it's also a question that doesn't admit of any easy answers. Maybe a way to begin exploring the question is to try to identify what one of my friends calls the feeling space of the decision, what it feels like to make decisions with faith, and what it feels like to make decisions without faith, or when you're full of fear. Let's start with the without faith, because that's a lot more familiar to me. The feeling is of clenched fists and held breath and a mind running in overdrive because you're trying to anticipate every threat and eliminate every uncertainty. Because you're thinking so hard, you're probably spending more time in your head than in your heart. The energy is up here, it's not right here. And you probably have a very serious expression on your face because you take your own life and your own happiness very seriously, because after all, we only live once. This is what most of my decisions feel like, at least. Now contrast this with decisions made with an attitude of faith. I feel like I'm more guessing here, but what do these decisions feel like? Some words that come to mind are spaciousness, air, open hands instead of clenched fists, deep breaths instead of held breath. Your muscles are relaxed because you let go of all that nervous energy trying to anticipate threats. Your mind is quiet, your mind is still, not because you have anticipated every threat, but because you know that whatever life throws your way, you will be able to handle it. Things will turn out okay. This detail about everything turning out okay, though, is one that my critical mind gets hung up on. And so I'd like to explore this just a little more deeply to make sure that I'm not preaching some kind of prosperity gospel, you know, the idea that if you have faith, you'll be rich and successful and all of your dreams will come true, because that's not the way the world works or the way the gospel works. the issue is that, at least in my own observations of the world, things do not always turn out okay, or at least it's unclear what okay means in this context. In today's gospel reading, Jesus subdues the storm and saves the day, and so the disciples never had any reason to be afraid. But of course, most storms, Jesus does not calm. The Titanic, I might remind you, did sink, and some of our decisions and lives play out poorly. While I was trying to prepare this sermon and, you know, find something coherent to say on the topic of faith that was true and honest, I was guarded against writing anything like a prosperity gospel by the music that happened to be playing in the background. The music was from Les Miserables, the movie version starring Anne Hathaway as Fantine and Russell Crowe as Javert. If these names are unfamiliar to you, then you are even more out of touch with pop culture than I am. Anyway, I put on this movie because it popped up in my Netflix queue, and I thought it'd be nice to have some music in the background while I was trying to like pull together a sermon. But of course, this music is really powerful, and I was totally sucked in. And while I was trying to make sense of the idea that we should have more faith and less fear, Anne Hathaway started to sing a very famous song about broken dreams. The song, which most of you probably know, is called I Dreamed a Dream. And in case there's anyone here who doesn't know the backstory, I'll just say real briefly that Fantine, the character played by Anne Hathaway in the movie, falls into this tragic life where she's abandoned by her husband, and she ends up working long hours at this miserable factory. And then at night, she works as a prostitute to take care of her child. And in the movie version of the story, she also ends up selling her hair and extracting a few of her molars and selling those to make ends meet and to take care of her child. And at the peak of her misery, she sings this very famous song, which includes lines like these. And I was wondering, would I sing this? Would I actually sing this when I got to the point in the sermon, or would I, you know, chicken out and, you know, just say it, talk it. So it goes, feel free to like unmute yourself and sing this right now if anybody wants to go. Okay, but it goes, but there are dreams that cannot be, and there are storms we cannot weather. And while I was writing about Jesus calming the storm, Anne Hathaway was singing, but there are storms we cannot weather. And I, you know, so I was sort of having this back and forth between this like faith and optimism and then this like fear and tragedy on the other hand. And she said, yeah, I had a dream my life would be so different from this hell I'm living. Brenda, we should have put this song into the service. I'm sorry. But anyway, Fantine is, of course, a fictional character, but she's also a recognizable type. She's one of the downtrodden and the brokenhearted. She is the kind of person who had a special place in Jesus's heart. And while I was writing this sermon, listening to Anne Hathaway sing the song in the background, I wanted to say something about faith and fear that would ring true, not only to the privileged for whom things probably will turn out okay, if only because of our privilege, but for the downtrodden as well, for whom it doesn't feel like such a given that things will turn out okay, because so often they don't, or they haven't already. But I'm not sure what to say here. I feel like I'm coming to the end of my wisdom. I want to help you, and I want to help myself approach decisions without fear, even while acknowledging how terrible things can turn out and how much there really is to fear, how high the stakes really are. There's a narrow tightrope to walk here. And the only step forward I see right now at this point is to return to the fictional world of Les Mis, which I believe might correspond with the actual world in some crucial ways. And I want to point out that Fantine, the character who sang that song, does get what she most wants in the end. On her deathbed, she finally gets what she most wants from this world, which is a loving and devoted man, Jean Valjean, who vows to take care of her daughter. And many years later, when Jean Valjean is on his own deathbed, it is a radiant and otherworldly Fantine who receives Jean Valjean into, you know, the heavenly glory, the afterlife, as she calls it, the place where pain will never find you. My takeaway from this story is that even when things clearly do not turn out okay, there is still a sense in which they do, still a sense in which they do turn out okay. Even when we make terrible decisions and find ourselves living out worst case scenarios, there will always be new and unexpected mercies. We will never come to the end of our rope. On whatever path we find ourselves, flowers will continue to grow and bloom. So open your palms, take a deep breath, make your choices, and see what pains and tender mercies the Lord has in store for you. Thank you.